What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Will Pruitt, and I'm here to guide you through the wacky and wonderful world of TNA Impact Wrestling. For May 9th, 2013, I am recording this on the Friday morning, May 10th, 2013. Did I say 2014 earlier? Holy crap, it's the future. It's not the future. I lied to you. But first, I just want to play something for you and talk about it real quick, because I found it on WWE's website earlier this week, and it's one of the more interesting things I think I've heard in a while.
Well, you know, Vampiro, he's the wrestler of the future, brother. I've been watching this dude, I've been watching his moves, and the general consensus amongst all the maniacs is Vampiro is going to be the man. As I watch him, brother, I'm going to make sure I watch his back, because when I came in here, the brother gave me the common courtesy. He's the first one to step out of the shadows to tell me that there was a $500,000 bounty on my head, Mean Gene. So if anybody messes with the man Vampiro, brother, I'm going to be right there by his side, dude.
Is there any chance that we could see you and Vampiro as a tag team Hulk Hogan?
Well, if I had the chance to step in the ring with Vampiro, it would be my pleasure, brother, because with the momentum that he has, it kind of reminds me of when Hulkamania first got rolling. Every time I look out in the crowd, every time I look around, I see more painted faces like Vampiro. He's building momentum, brother, and by hook or by crook, I'm going to make sure I watch his back. But I'm here for one thing tonight, brother. Sid Vicious, you coward, step out of the shadows and I'll chop you down.
So yeah, that's Hulk Hogan from a WCW Nitro episode in the year 2000 discussing Vampiro and saying, Vampiro, you know, it's just like when the Mania first started, all of that, and I found that this week, and I felt like I had to play it on TNA audio because it's just so apt. When you look at the things he said about Matt Morgan, when you look at the things he said about AJ Styles, when you look at all of the things, you know, the things he was saying about Austin Aries a year ago, Hulk Hogan does this. You know, he anoints a guy, hey, he's the next coming of the Mania, brother, Abyss, to make this really relevant to today. When Hogan first came into TNA, it was Abyss that he was saying this stuff about. And it's just kind of funny to look and go, oh yeah, but what happened to him? What happened to Vampiro in WCW? I mean, he set Sting on fire and threw him off the entryway, but that's the only thing I really remember from Vampiro in WCW. What happened to AJ Styles? Well, he's in the same role or a lesser one that he was in when Hogan came in. What happened to, you know, James Storm? What happened to Austin Aries? What happened to all of these guys? What's going on, TNA Impact Wrestling? What's going on? And that's kind of a theme today on this audio. So, as you know, this is the All Access Podcast. Everyone can listen to it, which means I'm going to plug the members site real quick. If you are not a .NET member, you should be. It's pretty cool. Weekly, you're going to get access to a whole lot of audio, including .NET Weekly, with a lot of first-run news every week, and just a great analysis of the biggest stories with Jason Powell and Chris Shore, the .NET Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett, counting down the top five best and bottom three worst moments of every week in wrestling, Jason's .NET Q&A, my Impact Review Weekly. I do it pretty much every week. You only get it on occasion here on the All Access side, plus Jason Powell's Raw weekly Raw review, which he does do every week, but you only get it on occasion here in the All Access. Plus, you're going to get a pay-per-view audio, access to interviews, and access to our entire audio archive. There's some great stuff there in the past, and hell, I honestly think it's fun sometimes when I'm going through a little podcast drought, when I've been driving a lot or something, and I don't have as many podcasts to listen to. I think it's pretty fantastic to go and turn on an old Raw audio, an old .NET Weekly, something, just pick a random date in the past, scroll through the archives a little bit, turn it on, and you're going to get some interesting insight, figure out where you are story-wise, and it's going to be really fun. So, yeah, I really think the .NET membership is a great value, and that y'all should check it out. ProWrestling.net membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Oh, yeah, ad-free access to the site, access to the forum, all of that. I just don't feel like plugging for a long time today. So, again, ProWrestling.net, link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that bad boy. It'll take you to the membership sign-up process. If you know you want it and you lock in that annual option, we're talking as low as $5.50 a month. If you don't know that you want it, you can always take the month-to-month or the six-month option, $7.50 for the month-to-month, and there is a discount on the six-month as well. ProWrestling.net is the place to find all of those details. Again, you can save $2 a month by going with that annual option, so if you know you like it, go out there and get it. Anyways, now that we have, we've discussed it, we're all happy with discussions, right, of the .NET membership site? Cool. Thanks, guys. Let's move on. The big story of this episode of Impact, Mike Tenay said it best. There is hope for TNA, and it's a monster. As Abyss returned on this episode of Impact, they were building up the big six-man tag. Singh and Kurt Angle and a mystery partner against Bully Ray, D-Von, and Mr. Anderson. The Aces and Eights trio, kind of the main event Aces and Eights trio at this point. And for one thing, I do want to say, I'm enjoying Ken Anderson right now. And I have not been a big Anderson supporter through my career of analyzing wrestling. I don't think he's that good. I think he rightfully had the reputation of being dangerous in WWE, and I was fine when he was let go. I don't believe that he is a main event guy, really, and I think that his reluctance to evolve his gimmick from the Mr. Anderson act from 2006 to 2012 really hurt him. That was 6 years of being the same exact thing, and being a caricature of a thing and never really evolving past it. All of that said, Mr. Anderson's doing some really nice work, is kind of a number three guy in this heel stable right now. And by the number three guy, I don't mean that he's bad. I mean, it's Bully Ray, D-Von, and Anderson is the prominent personalities in the group. And Anderson is fitting in well. He's kind of developing a new personality for himself, a little maniacal, a little evil, a little... It's just different. And it's a really nice difference there. So before I go, I just want to praise Anderson for kind of some of the work that he's doing, and I'm surprised by it. But Abyss came back. So they're in the tag team match, and the numbers game finally catching up to Sting and Kurt Angle, and they just can't seem to overcome. Bully Ray and D-Von are setting up a table in the ring. Cue Abyss's music, the kind of elevator ding thing, and then the... Yeah. Abyss comes out. Bully Ray's face was kind of like, watch the bleep. And they pan over to the entryway. Abyss is coming out. Now, I guess there's two things to talk about here. There's the story that's being told. And I want to talk about that first. Abyss was taken out of TNA by the Aces and Eights. And Bully Ray, or presumably by the Aces and Eights, Bully Ray, of course, was in a feud with Abyss at the time. Joseph Park showed up and was looking for his brother. That's kind of where we last left off. And you know what? I'm going to hop on the interweb right now because I'm real curious as to when that was. I want to get a nice picture of when he was last there. Scrolling. Wikipedia, man. How did we analyze wrestling before Wikipedia? That's what I really want to know. All right. Here we go. On March 10th at Lockdown Park... Joseph Park is part of this page. They are different people, Wikipedia. Don't be silly. Abyss was attacked backstage on January 8th, 2012 at Genesis, and was not seen after that. It was March 8th of last year when Joseph Park showed up. So this kind of predated, it had to do with Bully Ray, but it predated the Aces and Eights. And this is, it's been a year and a half since we've seen Abyss in TNA. Aside from, I believe it was Slammiversary last year, when he showed up from under the ring during the Chris Parks match, or during the Joseph Park versus Bully Ray match, and hit Bully Ray, and then went back under the ring. And we never saw his face, but we saw his odd outfit. Now, I like the story. I do. I like the idea that, Abyss is showing up when they need help. The idea that he would call Hulk Hogan kind of plays into the 2010, Abyss and Hulk friendship, like, weird Evad Sullivan stuff. The, like, little Hulkamaniac thing that Abyss had going on. I like that. I really like what TNA did there. What I don't enjoy, Abyss seemed to just stop being the point so long ago. And it stopped being anything important. Joseph Parks seemed to have stopped looking for him. But, you know, they took... And the idea, I think, is, hey, they took out Joseph Park, you know, last week or the week before. It was one of those. They took out Joseph Park, and now they want to... Now Abyss is upset because that's his brother. That's family. You don't do that to family. Cool. Like, I really can't state how much I like this story enough. It's good. They're telling... It's a good story. Now let's talk about the execution. Abyss comes out, and his look... Here's the thing with Abyss, and I will refer, for the purpose of this audio, to Joseph Park and Abyss as two separate people, but, you know, obviously the same person. Here's the thing with Abyss. Abyss is pale, like, kind of oddly pale, kind of very large. Like, I kind of want to compare Abyss to an early Mankind. Look-wise, and, you know, he has a mask and everything, and obviously his character is kind of a combination takeoff of Mankind and Kane when you look at his history. But the problem is that he's not... He doesn't really fit into that. And you'd think an early Mankind, but he's huge. He's like... He looks like Mick Foley in 2012, not Mick Foley in 1996. He's a large dude. So he's big, and he's gotten bigger, Abyss has, and that's not positive. Abyss looks like an early Mankind. Abyss looks like he just looks bad, to be real with you. Like, he doesn't look good. And he wasn't moving well, either. That was evident watching this. He did a couple big boots. I think it was both Bully Ray and D-Von ate a big boot. That big boot hit him square in, like, the sternum. It was not a big, big boot. It was, he couldn't get that leg up. He seemed to be moving slow, and even the choke slam on Anderson, and I know part of this is probably Anderson not helping him out enough, but even the choke slam on Anderson he hit at the end through the table was not... It was not what it should have been. You know, he didn't get the elevation up for the choke slam. And it's just... So, you know, you have the storytelling part of it, which is fine. Then you have the actual execution you got to look at, and to me the execution was sorely lacking because Abyss just didn't look ready. Like, I don't know if it's just, hey, he's been wrestling as Chris Parks and, you know, or as Joseph Parks, and he's kind of lost some of the ability, because Abyss at one point was a pretty good big man, and maybe he's just, you know, hey, when you're wrestling as Joseph Park, you don't got to train as hard. When you're wrestling as Joseph Park all the time, maybe your cardio just gets out of shape. Maybe, you know, you're not lifting that leg all the time. You're not, you know, hitting that choke slam all the time. You're not doing those things. And he needs to get in better shape if he's going to go on a run as Abyss, because Abyss has a different standard than Joseph Park, obviously. So yeah, that was that. And like I said, story-wise, I actually like it. They're bringing him back at the right time. And I think at a time when TNA needs a great hope. And I don't know that they need the great hope here. That's one of the other things about it. I don't know that TNA needs the most hopeful. They shouldn't be at the point where they're like, it's gotta be this guy. They should be at a point where they're going, is this a guy? Oh God, I hope this is the guy. They need to be, the commentators need to be saying that, and they need to be encouraging fans to say, oh God, I hope this is the guy. And Abyss is a fine guy to say, oh God, I hope this is the guy about. So, I'm hoping that TNA, hoping that they do right here. I'm hoping that they continue telling a compelling story here. That's kind of the overall picture of Impact. Let's go back to the top. We started the show with some previously on Impact action. Commentators check in, and then bada bing, bada boom. Sting comes out. Sting opens the show with Kurt Angle. Sting basically says, and, you know, I'll be using Chris Shore's Impact report a little bit, but I don't even have it open yet, so if I miss a key detail, I don't know, blame Mojo? Like, what are we doing? .NET members know that we blame Kid Mojo for our problems. Those of you that are not .NET members, what the hell's wrong with you? Become a .NET member. Come on out to the forum and start blaming Kid Mojo for things. Or blame Shore. That's also an option. Blaming Chris Shore. Very fun. Yeah. So, where the H word was I? What was I talking about? Abyss. No. Top of Impact. There we go. Sting and Kurt Angle come out, and Sting says, you know, I'm going to roll into Slammiversary at the beginning of June, and I'm going to be your number one contender. And that's great, but we got us a six-man tonight, and we're going to war with the Aces and Eights. And when you go to war, you don't just look for the best. You look for the best of the best. And that's why I found, you know, 18,000-time world champion, Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. Angle took the mic and said, that's right, and we got someone else, too. AJ Styles, come on out here. We want your answer now. Boom. AJ Styles music hits. Styles out on the, you know, out to the ring. Doesn't say a word. They ask him, are you in or are you out? AJ looks, looks at him and ponders them. And I go, man, AJ, why did you gain like 15 pounds? Okay, well, that's not important. But I wonder it when I see AJ Styles, what happened with this weight gain. It was kind of Sting going, or first Kurt getting angry, kind of a little good cop, bad cop thing. Kurt gets upset and says, you know, I want my answer. What the hell's wrong with you, AJ? You got to help us. This is, you know. And then Sting turns around. And Sting says, hey, AJ, I've been there before. I've had people distrust me before. I've been in this situation. Obviously talking about the Crow Sting, and it's a, I don't know what to say about that. TNA Creative, everyone's criticizing you for using the Crow Sting, or a lot of people are criticizing you for using a Crow Sting-esque story for AJ Styles here. Does it make it okay that you're now referencing the Crow Sting story? Or is that just kind of a, really? Yeah, now you bring it up. I don't know. I do know that the AJ Styles story is getting better. So take that for what you will. So AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, P1, as his entrance video says, just looks, just sits there looking. And then Kurt Angle gets upset. Sting gets upset. And then AJ Styles goes to walk away, and he's walking down the ramp. Kurt Angle follows him. Obviously, Styles is not going to be the guy. Kurt Angle and Styles start brawling on the ramp. While they're brawling, Aces and Eights sneak in behind him. Anderson runs into Sting. Sting turns around, boom, straight into a 3D from Bully Ray and Devon. Fine opening segment. It promoted the six-man later in the night. It gave you the thread of the show, which is that mystery partner. Who will it be? What are we doing? You know, who's it going to be? What's the mystery going to be? It also just, it did a lot to tell a story. So good opening segment. Good on TNA telling that story. Again, sometimes TNA, they tell the best story with the worst execution. This was well executed, though. This was a really good opening segment and a really good story. So high fives all around. We got a video recapping it backstage. Interview guy was like, AJ, so are you not going to be the partner? He turned around, looked at him, then walked out the door. AJ's got a lot of feelings, guys. AJ's got so many feelings. Back to the ring, Tara and Jesse come out, and then Gail Kim comes out, and then followed by Hardcore Country, Mickie James, and God, I hate her theme music. So here's the thing with Mickie James. She's so freaking good. Like, she wrestles well. She's a plucky babyface. She's great. Why she gotta be Hardcore Country when Mickie James can just be Mickie freaking James? Like, there's nothing wrong with Mickie James. Not a creepy stalker. Not, you know, Daisy Duke. She's just freaking Mickie James. And she can walk through the ring, I don't know, in wrestling gear and not Daisy Dukes and a shirt tied up. Like, I just came off the farm and I'm gonna have me a wrestling match. Come on. You're better than this, Mickie. You know you are. You are fully aware of how good you are. Why is TNA even allowing it? Why isn't someone in TNA Creative going, hey, we know you do country music, and that's great. We're going to help you promote it all we can. We don't think the way to promote that is Daisy Dukes and button-up shirts. Here's some tights. Put them on and get the hell out there. That's probably the approach that I would take if I were in TNA, because it doesn't make sense to have her in what she's in. Yeah, I know. I'm picking nits here. But Mickie James comes out. Velvet Sky comes out. Knockouts champion Velvet Sky. She wears things that say holler. H-O-L-L-E-R. Holler. I don't even know what that means. Does it mean like yell? Or is it like we live back in the holler, like in the bad part of town? Are Velvet Sky's breasts that say holler the bad part of town? That's a question for you to answer, listener. Velvet Sky comes out, and we have Gail Kim and Tara versus Mickie James and Velvet Sky. Mickie James and Velvet Sky won this nice little knockouts tag match in 3 minutes and 28 seconds. We had the match finished. Mickey James worked the majority of the match. They built to the hot tag with Velvet Sky, which was good. Velvet Sky needs that protection of just basically being on offense. She shouldn't have to do much. Mickey James, of course, a great woman's worker. She was getting worked over by Tara, then worked over by Gail Kim. Interestingly enough, this was Mickey James, Tara, and Gail Kim all in one match. Tara, of course, former WWE Diva Victoria, and Velvet Sky. So it was like, hey, here are the women that came over from WWE and Velvet Sky. Taryn Terrell, instead of Velvet Sky in this match, would have made it a complete former WWE Divas tag match. Just, you know, a little bit of trivia for y'all. I say things like that sometimes. It's annoying. I know. So Mickey James, and Mickey James and Velvet Sky win. You had Tara being hit with Velvet Sky's finisher to finish it off. And then after the match, Gail Kim and Tara are in the ring. Oh, we're upset, we lost. Gail Kim just takes out Tara, takes her down, boom, drags her over to the ring post, puts that ring post figure four on her, because Gail Kim is the Bret Hart of women's wrestling. As I said last week to .NET members, I'm going to let you all in on this one. Number one, Canadian. Number two, refers to herself as the best ever. I don't know if she believes it quite as much as Bret does, but hey, delusion's a good thing for old Bret Hart. And finally, number three, rates all Triple H matches a 4 out of 10. No! Number three, using the ring post figure four, just like Bret Hart did in 1997. Gail Kim, really, it is kind of, she's using that Bret Hart act, and it's fun. I like it a lot. Gail, again, the Knockouts division is developing characters, they're developing personalities, and they're telling compelling stories. You have the Taryn Terrell story, which getting a week off from this week was probably a really positive thing. You've got Gail Kim, the stalwart of the division. She's been built up. She's calling herself the best women's wrestler ever. Then you've got Mickey James, kind of on this quest to become Knockouts champion again. She has a character, as much as I dislike parts of it, and she has a goal. You've got Velvet Sky as the plucky champion who came back from injury to win the title. You've got characters in that division. You've got personalities built up. And really, you have some fresh stuff happening, too. The addition of Taryn Terrell to the mix is helping things out. If you had a Gail versus Mickey rivalry, that would feel fresh right now. I feel like Tara's probably on her way out. I would have done this as an injury angle and just let Gail Kim keep the figure four on for longer. But, I feel like Tara may be on her way out for a little bit to take a breather. Compelling stuff happening in the Knockouts division right now, for sure. TNA telling good stories. Golly, I'm positive right now. You'd think I liked this episode of Impact. Actually, I did. I did like it, which is crazy, because I'll be real with you guys. I worked a 16-hour day yesterday, and I'm still tired as hell. And yet, I found a way to enjoy this episode of Impact watching it this morning. So, again, high fives all around. TNA Creative, good show. Good show. So then we had an Aces and Eights segment backstage, and this was them kind of drinking beer. I want to talk real quick. I have a real serious conversation with you guys, actually. TNA's got a problem. There is a problem in the inner ranks of TNA. I don't know how far up it goes. Maybe it goes all the way up to Dixie Carter. But I feel like we as wrestling fans need to stage an intervention for TNA. That intervention, I think TNA has a drinking problem, guys. And I'm coming to you real serious about this. I don't want to get all overblown and crazy. I just want to talk to you person to person, man to man, or man to woman, however we are talking right now, whatever your gender happens to be, man, woman, none of the above, all of the above, it doesn't matter to me. This is about TNA and their health. TNA. Man, I've never seen so much alcohol on a wrestling show, and I watched Steve Austin spray down the corporation with a truckload of beer. You had, on this show, the Aces and Eights downing beers backstage. James Storm being presented with beer by two tag teams. You had Appletinis being guzzled. You had ODB drinking. You had so much drinking on this show. So many people drink it before they come into work. You had Austin Aries drinking wine. I just want to say, TNA, if you need help, you can come to me. if you need help, if you feel like this is something too big for you to overcome, if this drinking problem is too much, TNA, you can come to me and I will help you get the help that you need. I mean, I don't know if it's rehab. I don't know if it's just a friend saying, hey, enough is enough. I don't know what they need, but TNA has a serious drinking problem. There was so much alcohol consumed during this episode of Impact, and that wasn't just me. I watched it in the morning, guys. I was drinking coffee. That wasn't just me. I don't think it was just fans. The wrestlers themselves, man, they're just drinking a lot. Drinking a lot on TV. And if you're drinking that much on television, how much, then, are you drinking when you're not on TV? How much are you drinking when you're alone? That's what I want to know. Anyways, I think I was talking about the Aces and Eights, right? They were having a little party backstage, and D'Lo walked up and was like, y'all didn't tell me about the gathering. And Bully Ray was upset at him and said, you know, yeah, we didn't. And you know what? We'll tell you about this. Let's have a little gathering out in the ring. Are you there, asshole? You there, bro? And basically, the Aces and Eights are going to come to the ring. This was a nice way of them saying, after this commercial break, Aces and Eights in the ring next. Dealing with the D'Lo situation. I think we saw a video about D'Lo giving up his slot, too. That, I don't remember if that was before or after this. D'Lo looked sad. Like, D'Lo had, like, a long glance of sadness that was kind of a bummer for him. D'Lo, they stuck on it for a while, too. Like, I thought, are they turning D'Lo babyface here? He looks so forlorn. Man, D'Lo better recognize. That's all I gotta say. Backstage, then, we went to commercial, came back. Backstage, Bad Influence walked into James Storm's locker room. Again, so much alcohol. Gave him a six-pack of beer and said, you know, we didn't mean all those things we said. We got caught up in the AJ Styles bidding war. Who knew he'd pick a Sith instead of Jedi? Funny stuff. Bad Influence just doing phenomenal work right now in the tag division, on the mic, doing entertaining stuff, doing stuff that makes you hate him, kind of, you know, being that winking heel, but enough that if I went to a show, I would have fun booing them because they're just so ridiculous. I wouldn't cheer them. I would enjoy booing them. So, that's fun. They left beer in James Storm's locker room. They said, hey, you know, come on, join us. We can, Kazarian had a great line. Forget Fortune, we could be Three Chin. No, let's just say, and Christopher Daniels said, let's just stick with Bad Influence. I'm all about Three Chin. What then is your symbol just, like, the Shocker? Like, are you, what becomes your symbol at that point? The V1 thing that Matt Hardy does that is also the Shocker? I'm not quite sure, because if Fortune was bad enough for that, V1 would be pretty awful. Basically, Fortune had a stupid hand signal, in case you guys are wondering. James Storm drank the beer they left him, because that's what you do in TNA, you drink. Aces and Eights came out, they harassed Todd Kennelly, he got papers thrown up at him, it was great. Todd Kennelly deserved that. I think he said a cliche about it too, so, way to go, Todd Kennelly. Billy Ray took the mic, demanded that the music be cut. How is it that baby faces never really want their music to be cut? Maybe it's a heel thing. Kenny King would do it later and say, you know, turn my mic on! Your mic was already on, obviously. We heard you say that. You could have just checked it real quick, you know, check, 1-2, 1-2, we're good, sweet. But I guess the mic check is Ken Anderson's gimmick, so maybe that would, you'd run into some issues there if you were to check a microphone on national television. Yeah, I just took a victory sip after that joke. That's how proud I was. And yes, I drink coffee while I do audio. Screw you guys. No, I don't mean that. I love you guys. Come back! Oh, God, I'm silly this morning. Bully Ray took the mic, demanded his music to be cut. He said this crew was going to destroy Angle and Sing later, but first, they got something to say about D'Lo. He demanded D'Lo's cut from him. He said D'Lo, you know, said he'd put it on the line. He demanded D'Lo give him his cut, which is a leather vest, by the way. I don't know why they're called cuts. But he demanded D'Lo's silly leather vest. D'Lo said he wouldn't give it to him. He was harassed a little bit and forced to take it off. D'Lo said he would do anything. That cut is his life. This gang is his life. What do Aces and Eights do when it's not Thursday? Or a pay-per-view Sunday, basically. Like, maybe house shows I can understand, but like Tuesday night, what are the Aces and Eights members doing? Like, just hanging out with their families, like, yeah, you know, I'm in this biker gang, I occasionally wrestle. My son's real cute, though, and I gotta take him to preschool. That's my D'Lo Brown impression, I guess. Yeah. So, D'Lo, who we all better recognize. Yeah, I know I already used that joke, but I'm gonna use it a lot. Basically, D'Lo said, you know, I know Magnus has a match tonight, put me in there with Magnus, let me fight him, I'll beat him and prove that I belong in this club. Bully Ray said, no. We're going to put Doc in there against Magnus, and you're going to sit at ringside next to the timekeeper. And you're going to sit there, and you better hope and make sure that Doc gets the job done, because if not, you're not going to be in this club anymore. Well, just so happened that that match was next. It was Doc versus Magnus. This was apparently Magnus's return from something. He got beat up a few weeks, like a month ago. I don't know if anyone makes more returns from things than Magnus at this point. Like, hey, we're going to beat him up. Take him out for about a month. Then, hey, it's been a month. Let's put Magnus back on TV. What's he going to do on TV? Oh, yeah, I think he's going to win a match and get his ass kicked. Maybe we'll take him out for a month. Oh, that's a great idea. Apparently, the TNA writer's room is just like a bunch of bros yelling. Could you even tell that was my idea of the TNA writer's room? Shouldn't ask. I've spent a lot of time on this segment, haven't I? How bored are you guys of this? That much? Damn. All right, then. Moving on real quick. So D'Lo has to stay at ringside. That's fine. It's Doc versus Magnus. D'Lo is at ringside. Magnus ended up winning this match in 4 minutes. And Magnus was able to roll up Doc, Magnus had his top rope elbow drop kicked out of. I don't know that I would do that. Doc had a pretty impressive move kicked out of as well, a big flapjack. Kind of an F5 into a flapjack type of situation. Fireman's carry, twist him around, flapjack. I would make that Doc's finisher immediately, because that's a pretty impressive move, and it's cool. But that only got two as well from Magnus. And then D'Lo, who, this was a weird one. D'Lo had been pushed at some point up against the barricade. So then he's facing the barricade. Like, D'Lo, so there was some force field keeping D'Lo from turning around. And Magnus was about to get whipped into the ropes. And Doc, he reversed it. Doc was whipped into the ropes. And D'Lo grabbed Doc's leg. Now, D'Lo never looked up at Doc. Like, he purposefully made sure to keep looking at the crowd. And then let go, you know, Magnus was able to then roll up Doc, get the three count. D'Lo thought he had won, because D'Lo never thought to look at the ring, and then realized that Doc had lost and looked panicked and grief-stricken. How did that happen? How is this a thing? How did Doc end up, like, how did D'Lo just not turn around? Oh, goody, goody, goody. Weird. That is honestly one of the stranger things I've seen, because it just wasn't logical for D'Lo not to look. I would have been fine with him missing and hitting Doc somehow, and that led to a roll-up that Magnus won. But I'm just gonna face this audience and hold this leg. Yep, pretty sure this is Magnus's leg, even though if I were to even think, Magnus is in boots and tights and Doc's in jeans. This is nice denim on Magnus's leg. Must have upgraded to jeans like the Aces and Eights. Head wobble, upset, forlorn face. Kind of weird. And Chris Orr made a good point about the focus of this match not being on Magnus, but the focus, and Doc, but the focus being on D'Lo. And that's a really good point, because the match was about D'Lo and not Doc and Magnus, and that's a bummer for, you know, wrestling fans. I think Magnus is... They had this segment. And on the Hulk Hogan empty platitude meter, we had Kurt Angle and Sting offering empty platitudes about Magnus later in the show. And to offer more, I think Magnus is ready to have some empty platitudes offered his way, because Magnus is good at what he does. So, D'Lo tried to apologize after this, and They held him down. Bully Ray threatened to crush his skull. Anderson kind of stopped him, and then they said, let's make him a prospect. You're a prospect now. That's what you are. Prospect. He's a prospect now. So Anderson is going to, or not Anderson, D'Lo is going to be washing the bikes and getting the ice and the beer and the, you know, kind of prospecting for him. I like to think him being a prospect means that he's an old prospector, and he will be mining for gold for the Aces and Eights.
That's right. D'Lo Brown, gold miner.
Book it! Sweet. Hulk Hogan then was shown talking to Singing Eagle, and it was that whole thing of, oh, well, I've got this guy, brother, and he's a wild card, and if he is who he says he is, and if he shows up, brother, you want to, he'll take on the whole Aces and Eights himself, brother. And Sting and Kurt Angle said, well, we can't rely on if, now can we, Hulkster? Oh, first Hulk said, I'm going to do it myself, I'll be the third man, brother. To which I kind of think that phone call was made to Eric Bischoff at some point in 1996. Can we just talk about, okay, wrestling history. You say third man. Like, when you say that, there are some terms that shouldn't be used. Higher power, definitely one of them. Third man, I think, is one of them. And they were using it as a hashtag. TNA was using it as a hashtag on Twitter last night. And they were saying it a lot. Third man. Third man. Who's the third man going to be? There are some terms that shouldn't be overused in wrestling. And I honestly think third man is one of them. Because when I hear third man, I think back to 1996. And I think back to Hulk Hogan's heel turn. And I think every longtime wrestling fan does. Maybe it's just fans like you and I that, you know, are into the product enough that we know wrestling history and that really rings a bell. But I think it happens to a lot of people. And to the casual TNA viewer, who may be a more hardcore WWE viewer, they think that too, because they know the NWO. They know the third man idea. So they put it together, and then they go, oh, well, TNA, just copying some old WCW angles again like they do. That's basically my thought. Sting and Angle. Sting and Angle were like, dude, your doctor said no. We heard your doctor. And I'm like, Sting and Angle go to doctor appointments with Hulk Hogan? Hell yeah! That's just sweet. I would watch that as a sitcom. Like, Sting, Angle, and Hogan, maybe they live in an apartment together? I don't know. Maybe they're trying to raise a baby? I don't know. But I think we could write some great episodes of this with, you know, Sting face-painting the baby and Hulk getting upset because he was supposed to wear the bandana that day and Kurt Angle constantly trying to shave the baby's head. Like, that's just what I see happening here. Moving on to other weird sitcom ideas. No. They decided on Magnus. They're like, Magnus is ready. And that was a big thing, you know. He's ready, brother. He's ready, brother. Austin Aries and Bobby Roode walked up to James Storm and praised him, and this was funny. They're walking up, and Aries is talking to Roode, and Rude's just going, no, I won't do it, I won't do it, and Aries is going, like, you have to, come on, you know Bad Influence has already talked to him, you have to talk to him. So you had Aries and Roode then walking up to James Storm, and James going, I only won the title from you because I hit you with a beer bottle, and you're the better man. In that kind of voice, and giving him a beer, and it was that same little bribery thing as earlier. Funny. Some funny stuff there. And, James Storm walked away, basically. And then we heard some ring music and Roode came out. Two teams made their entrance. Bad Influence versus Austin Aries and Bobby Roode with James Storm as special referee for the number one contendership for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. Yeah. Fun. This was this was very much a, you remember going into the triple threat match between Jeff Hardy, Bobby Roode, and Austin Aries when they had a Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries match, and I think it's one of the reasons they became a tag team. They had this match where they just tried to out-heal each other the whole time, and the spots, it was a little contrived. Like, it walked this fine line of, yes, it's contrived, but it's also really damn entertaining. And that's pretty much what this was. It was contrived, but it was really entertaining. And it was the two teams trying to out-cheat each other, to out-wrestle each other. And James Storm kind of being the guy in the middle, going, no, 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 don't cheat that much, don't do that. James Storm, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels all had really good performances here. The match ended. Some highlights included Austin Aries and someone else trying, and I think it was
Daniels, but I'm not sure. Both trying to rake each other's eyes. They rake each other's eyes. They hit the eye rakes. And then they kind of stumble into the wrong corners. Like, Aries stumbled towards Kazarian. Or it may have been Kazarian, actually. Aries stumbled towards Daniels, and Kazarian stumbled towards Rude. And they went to tag. They both got punched. So then they went to the middle of the ring. And they slapped each other's hands like it was a tag. And then went to the non-active corners and climbed out of the ring like, tag was made. I'm good. And then all four men are looking at each other up on the turnbuckles. I'm not doing it justice telling you about it. It was a funny little bit. Also, something odd that happened here. Chrissy Hemme introduced the wrong team first. She's like introducing first Bad Influence, and Rude and Aries were walking out. And I want to say this wasn't supposed to happen. Who knows? But they walked out to the, you know, walked out and kind of bullied, you know, talked to Hemme, and she reintroduced them, and then Austin Aries climbed up on the turnbuckle with Chrissy Hemme still in the corner, and raised his arms, and that was a little weird and sexual harassy and lawsuity, especially to do on national television if it wasn't planned, but hey, to each their own. Wasn't that terrible, and she said okay, and it was fine. So yeah, Bad Influence. The end of this match came when James Storm's had enough, and he super kicks everyone. And that finishes the match. James Storm's music plays. There's an apparent no contest at 11 minutes and 30 seconds. Fine. You know, I don't love the apparent no contest thing, but it kind of fit where they were going, and I feel like it fit the story well. So, backstage, the Aces and Eights attack Magnus. Who didn't see that coming? This was a comedic Magnus beatdown, by the way. And, you know, I talk about the other Magnus stuff. This one, it was supposed to be really serious, and it was a fine beatdown, I guess. But it was just kind of odd to have him, to have Magnus, like, they ran a cart into his head and hit him with a bunch of stuff. Like, Magnus just got wrecked here. And if that happened to anyone else, it would, of course, just be a wreck. But Magnus took a... This was the Aces and Eights taking out Magnus, so he couldn't be in the tag match. I'm going to guess and say Magnus takes another month off, makes another return, and gets beat down the same night. Because that's how this works for Magnus. That's what his career is. Hey, only has to work once a month, though. Then we saw a suicide video play. Yeah, Suicide. You remember that guy who was based on... You remember TNA's shitty video game? Let's start there. TNA had this really bad video game that didn't have kind of the one mode that is probably most important in a wrestling game, and that is your Create a Wrestler mode. Story mode's important too, but Create a Wrestler is always fun. Who doesn't love creating Will Pruitt on their wrestling games, guys? Get on it. The actual... they didn't have a Create a Wrestler mode. They had a roster of guys, and they had some specialty match types. There were only like 12 or 13 wrestlers in the game. They had specialty match types. In their story mode, you couldn't play as one of the main characters. I can't play the story mode as Kurt Angle or AJ Styles or anyone like that. I can only play exhibition matches with them. But I can play the story. I can play the story mode as Suicide, this mass wrestler who was a character from the game, and the idea was to create some synergy. It was Suicide. He would be on TNA television to promote the game and as a character, and you could also play as him in the story mode and make decisions as Suicide and all that. So that was weird. Suicide, definitely also just a poor choice, man. That is, let's just talk about the poor taste of having a character called Suicide. That seems wrong to me. And I think it was probably pretty insensitive. What are you even supposed to say? He's committing suicide! Like, as he does his moves? Like, what the hell? It's wrong. A video aired for his return, and he was the guy that, you know, people picked. He was played by Daniels and Kazarian, by the way. So, in case you're wondering what, who's under the mask, it was always one of those guys, so I have to wonder if one of them is going to be him, or if they're going to find someone else to be Suicide. But there was this cool video, there was this cool little video of Suicide,
And I say it was cool just because it made him look like a big deal. You know, Suicide is coming soon. And it was this guy. You know, it was him. Showed some of his spectacular moves from the past. A little clock ticking and, you know, the time is now, all that stuff. Cool. A very, very fair little representation of him as a character. I was fine with it. So it was a cool video, but it was kind of weird. And then we saw a video recapping the return of Chris Sabin last week, and I thought, wait a minute, it's not a taped show, it's not X Division time. No, it was X Division time. And it wasn't just X Division time, it was X Division storytelling time, guys. Like, they created a story around the X Division. And we got Chris Sabin return video, cool. Kenny King comes out. Kenny King had a really nice night on the mic, actually. Kenny King was fine. I think Kenny King had a nice performance. He was saying, basically, hey, I'm the X Division champion. I came in. I'm that good. But there's another guy that I need to talk about. And that guy is Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin is the guy that I need to discuss right now. And he asked for Chris Sabin to come out, and King was being real nice to Sabin, saying nice things. You know, you're good, you're good. Hey, 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 happy you're back. Hold the title. And, you know, he got him to hold the title belt, said, you know, hold this title for me right now, please. Hold the title. And Sabin just kind of looked at him like, what? Chris Sabin took it, and then Kenny King said, oh, by the way, that's as close as you're ever going to come to being X Division champion. That's it for you. That's all you're going to do. You know, that's as close as you're going to come to holding that belt again, because I'm Kenny King, and I'm going to hold it for as long as I can. Good. Basic. Good angle. It was a very good angle. TNA, basic angle, good. Nice little one-on-one angle for Kenny King. Sorry, my dog is coughing right now. Nice little one-on-one angle for Kenny King and Chris Sabin. The issue here is Petey Williams is also in the X Division Championship match next week. That's the only thing. That's an issue that I have, actually, with what TNA is doing. Is the triple threat format doesn't allow for real feuds like this one to be built. Now, one thing I'd be fine with, Kenny King, you know, maybe Sabin puts away Petey Williams, but Kenny King is the guy to get the pin, and you can play off of that, like, hey, I'm the only reason you're still champion, all that. And you can build to a point where you break the X Division rules and have a one-on-one X Division championship match between them. Maybe it's Slammiversary. Like, maybe you tell that story quickly and you have, you know, you have them, one of them go to Hulk Hogan and say, hey, we need this. You know, maybe have Chris Sabin come out and go, I know I'm the better man. And I know the rules say I got to prove it in a three-way, but you've seen me win three ways. You know I can do it. I want this match with Kenny King one-on-one because it's personal. Could work. It could actually work and be a nice story. Backstage, we saw TNA officials chasing off Bad Influence and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, who had all beat up James Storm. So James Storm got beat up backstage. Kind of have to wonder where they're going with that. Video hyped the Gut Check tournament. Just hyped Gut Check and said that four Gut Check competitors, I think it was oh, good. Who was it? Way to go, Chris. Thanks for putting that pertinent information in your report. No one wants to really know that when they read your report. Christian York, Jay Bradley, Sam Shaw, whose name I am contractually obligated to say that way, Sam Shaw, and some other guy who probably won't win. I forget who it was. They're going to compete in a tournament, in a four-man, you know, couple of week tournament, and the winner will get a shot or will be put into the Bound for Glory series. So a Gut Check winner is going to get the shot at being in the Bound for Glory series. Fine. I'm totally fine with that. Again, the Bound for Glory series, because of the length of it and because of the format of it, offers quite a few opportunities to tell stories beyond the, oh, well, he won and he did this. It offers a chance to tell the story of a runner-up. It offers a chance to tell the story of a rookie going five, you know, let's, what was it? There's 12 guys in the series, so there are 11 matches. It offers a chance to tell the story of a guy going, 5-6. But man, he beat five main eventers. We got to talk about this because this Jay, let's say it's Jay Bradley. This Jay Bradley guy, he came in and he beat, you know, he beat AJ Styles. He beat Kurt Angle. He beat, you know, he beat these guys. We got to take him seriously now. There's a chance to tell that story with the Bound for Glory series. And I don't think they do a good, I don't think they do a good job of it all the time. They got better last year, and the first year was just kind of a cluster. But I do think that there is a chance to tell some really good stories here. Like I said last year with Magnus, I felt like he should have been the guy that makes just barely doesn't make the final four. Be that top five, miss it by a point or two, and be determined for the next year. Say I'm training for the Bound for Glory series. Go back to the Bound for Glory series and win. But that's enough about that. I think I beat that to death last year, and it's getting to that season, guys, where I'm going to be beating it to death again. Backstage, dear God, this is a long impact audio, guys. We're almost there, and I've already covered the main event, basically, so stay with me. There's a lot that I just want to talk about on the show, and a lot of analysis to be done here. That's why this is long. Plus, I'm just kind of talkative today. Gosh, imagine being my friend. Wouldn't that suck with how talkative I am? Backstage, Bully Ray said he knows not everyone's happy with what they did to D'Lo, but the club's got to stay together, and, you know, the club's got to do what they do. Ray told, he said D'Lo quit, and no one quits. Bully Ray then told Nux, when D'Lo came back, make sure the beer is cold and the bikes are clean, because we're going to go get some ladies. I would have loved for him to go, or for someone just to go, dude, Bully, you're a married man, you can't do that. But no one did. Brooke Hogan wasn't on this show, by the way. No Brooke Hogan here. Kurt Angle and Sting and we're talking backstage, and they said, Hulk, who is it? We need this guy. We're out of options here. I'm like, are you really? I mean, you can go to, you know, Bobby Roode's talked about how bad the Aces and Eights are. You can go to him. James Storm was beat up, I guess, so you can't go to him. What the hell's Eric Young? He got the big spot at a lockdown, and, you know, it was kind of like, we're going to make Eric Young a big thing, and now Eric Young is gone. Why didn't you call him in, fly him in for the show? There were people they could have gone to, but they, you know, that doesn't fit the narrative. And I'm just calling out that logic gap because it's fun. Kurt Angle and Sting versus Bully Ray, D-Von, and Ken Anderson, the Aces and Eights. Already talked to you about this one. Ended with the return of Abyss. Thematically, this show was built around that. It was built around the return of Abyss. It was built around the surprise return. It was built around that story. That worked. In practice, I don't think Abyss is... If Abyss isn't in better shape than he looks, we're going to have some issues going forward. But we don't know that yet. And right now, I just look at it and go, TNA told some good stories. They took some logical next steps forward towards Slammiversary without making the whole show about Slammiversary, and I appreciate that. This was a worthwhile edition of Impact without telling too much, without trying to do too much. And we got some things that we've been wanting. We got that X Division story. A real live X Division story that we saw here. So a little more emphasis being put there is a good thing. We saw a little bit of dissension in Aces and Eights, and that was interesting. We saw a lot of good stuff, though. TNA told some nice stories here, and I hope that spirit continued. Like, I hope they had their ish together for that second taping, and next week I'm saying the same thing, and I start thinking that Tulepo, Mississippi's a lucky place, because they're definitely doing some good stuff here. So, kudos to TNA. Good show. Hopefully you thought this audio was a good show, too. And if you want to hear more that's different, I'm definitely different than Jason. I'm different than Chris. We're all different. One of the benefits of ProWrestling.net, I feel, is one of the different voices that you get from kind of our main staff with Jason, Chris, Jake, and myself. And then the other guys, too. You've got Ryan. You've got Ryan Kester. You've got Zach Zimmerman, Darren Gutteridge, Jeffrey Lutz. All of us kind of, we do have different ways we look at wrestling. We don't all agree all the time. We aren't a generic internet think tank. You're not going to get generic views here. You're going to get a variety of viewpoints, and we're not afraid to disagree. I was talking with Chris Shore yesterday about the golden days of him and I arguing all the time, and how great those days were. God, I just love arguing with Chris. But yeah, well, we are, God, my dog's fine, guys, just to let you know. She's just eating and coughing. She is not dead. She is not dying. And she is a tiny 9-pound little dog and adorable. Just an update on Luna there, if you could hear her coughing in the background. But yeah, This was a nice episode of Impact. Check out ProWrestling.net, please. Download our apps. Download the All Access podcast app. Subscribe. Leave some reviews. Do all that crap you do. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great, great weekend.